Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Things are getting a little bit hairy up in northern Israel. It looks like the IDF may be going after Lebanese Hezbollah any day now. Now, that is coming after reports got leaked that the United Kingdom actually sent a warning over to Lebanon, warning them that Israel could be attacking as soon as mid-June. But in the meantime, it looks like Hezbollah has been going to work on Israel and vice versa. They have been sending rocket after rocket after rocket into northern Israel, slamming it day and night. Because of the rocket fire, they ended up lighting multiple blazes up in northern Israel. Yesterday, the blazes were, generally speaking, out in open fields, open areas, but due to winds and everything else, the fires ended up blowing over and getting closer and closer to residential buildings. This is just an example for you of one snapshot of a tiny portion of the northern border in Israel showing all of the red alerts, rocket attacks that were taking place inside northern Israel in a 24-hour period. It's pretty insane. In the past, Hezbollah has launched up to 70 rockets at a time, and I've actually seen them in the last couple days launching up to 30. Which is nuts. In addition to just the rockets, they're also doing rockets followed by drones now, one-way suicide attack drones. They're using the rockets to overwhelm the Iron Dome, and then they're using the drones to go in and strike the actual either Iron Dome or Israeli military positions. As you can see, the fires are just continuing to rage. And like I said, they did end up reaching the residential areas. Now, these fires that are burning in the north actually prompted a very stern response from Israel. Today, the IDF chief of staff announced that they are reaching a decision point when it comes to actually attacking Hezbollah. And he said, and I quote, "We are approaching the point where a decision must be made, and the IDF is prepared and very ready for this decision." Now, just prior to coming on and shooting this podcast, I did see unconfirmed reports that the IDF was going to make their decision on whether or not to attack tonight. That means that IDF may very well be crossing into Lebanon tonight. Now, Israel just isn't beating their war drums. They're actually taking the fight to Hezbollah with airstrikes. They have conducted countless airstrikes in the last several days against Hezbollah targets inside both Lebanon and Syria, where they also attack the IRGC, taking out at least 12 and up to 17 IRGC officers. But Hezbollah is also back on track, putting out their own propaganda videos as well. This is a video Hezbollah made, put together as just propaganda, war drum beating. But what it does is it shows off Hezbollah's tunnels inside Lebanon. They are way more extensive than most people, I think, actually realize. And the general construction of them and just the vast amount of them that are up in Lebanon are going to give the IDF a run for their money should they actually cross the border and go up there. Now, as a reminder, Hezbollah has over 100,000 fighters, has countless freaking rockets, but they also have the ability to launch precision and guided munitions from drones. They are one of the best funded terror organizations on the planet and largest non-state terror actor. Now, despite the floating pier inside Gaza going up into Israel for repairs, it didn't seem to stop humanitarian aid from flowing into Gaza. Hundreds of aid trucks have actually been crossing the border daily into the Gaza Strip, and it's still an issue. Hamas continues to steal the humanitarian aid trucks, like what we are witnessing here, where they're just beating on civilians who are attempting to take stuff off the trucks for themselves. You can see stuff falling off the trucks and people just dying, basically, to go get it. You see little kids holding on to things, and you see Hamas fighters just kind of like chase them around. And yes, I can say they're Hamas fighters. I mean, let's be honest. Why else would this guy be wearing a mask? And none of the civilians in this video, I'm just going to point it out there, that are stealing humanitarian aid, none of them else feel a need to cover their face. Only the guy with a giant swagger stick that's beating people that are trying to steal the aid that him and his buddies stole. Now, despite President Biden making remarks on Friday saying that there was a ceasefire plan in place that Israel was going to accept, and so would Hamas, and we're just going to have this peace, love, and harmony on the ground. Sinwar today actually came out and said that it's just not going to happen. He said the IDF wants to continue ground operations after the ceasefire would be complete, and that is not acceptable to Hamas. On the flip side, Netanyahu and the entirety of the leadership of Israel has been saying constantly that they will not accept anything less than the complete and total elimination of Hamas. So pulling off the battlefield doesn't make any sense for Israel if they're not going to be allowed to go back in and attack Hamas. They need to completely wipe Hamas off the map in order to ensure their survival. And in order to do so, the IDF is continuing to launch airstrikes inside of the Gaza Strip. This one in particular was at an UNRWA facility. This video was released by Kogat, letting the world know that the UN still has Hamas operatives operating within their buildings. Now, last week, the IDF did pull out of Jabalia and left no one behind. However, there is lots of videos that are now starting to emerge of Palestinians returning, and we're getting videos from Hamas that was taken during the battles or pre-battle showing the type of things that they were doing up there. One of the IDF commanders was actually quoted during the battle saying that pretty much every building they're going into has explosive charges in it. Of course, when the IDF was inside Jabalia, they had a house-borne IED go off that killed several Israeli service members and wounded a score more. And we're not sure if this is the video itself, but this is a video that Hamas is claiming was a house-borne IED that they used inside of Jabalia. Let's give it a look, and there is actually some really good intel that you can get out of here. I saved you the troubles of having to listen to their promo music because truthfully, it just drives me absolutely nuts. But here you can see him placing the charges inside of a closet. He's prepping them and hiding the wires. Right there, what he's actually putting up is the trigger device, and it looks like it's going to be a victim operated device with a pull pin configuration. Kind of hard to tell, but that's kind of what it looks like to me. So it'd be a pull pin hooked to a tripwire for him to come out. That's an actual anti-tank mine, and the fuse is removed. He is putting plastic explosive in the fuse well, and he's about to prime it. That's what he's doing right there with that screwdriver, is making a hole for whatever he's using to prime it. It's hard to make out. It's hard to tell. But just judging off of what that was, it looks like it was potentially a blasting cap. But again, hard to tell. And there he goes, rigging the device up to the wall, clipping away the zip ties and stashing it. IDF, of course, approaches from outside. And then it kind of moves into some propaganda crap. And then this is the aftermath. Now, I'll pause it right here because about, 2 days ago, the IDF released a video from inside of Rafah that had big plastic jugs. And when the drones flew through, people are saying, those couldn't possibly be bombs. They couldn't possibly be IEDs. There's no wires. There's no anything. I want you to take a look at this photograph right here, the still of this video. And what you see is you see two wires coming out of the roof. Now, likely those wires were leading to an explosive charge that was either upstairs or on a different level. Those wires you can actually hook up to the devices themselves and command detonate them. That is likely what Israel is worried about inside of that building in particular, because those plastic jugs really didn't make any sense. Now, unfortunately, this is where I'm going to have to stop the video, because the next things that get shown is some bloody bandages that the IDF ended up leaving behind after they treated wounded service members, according to that Hamas video, or so they would try to make it appear. We're going to jump over to the map real quick, because we're going to go down and we're going to start talking about Rafah, because something very interesting is taking place on Rafah. So remember, all the way up here on the northern border of Israel, we've got problems with Hezbollah. The attacks have increased like tenfold in the last week and a half, particularly in these last couple of days, pretty much, you know, like just fire after fire in northern Israel that they're dealing with up there. But we saw last week the IDF actually pulled out of Jabalia, so they backed out of there, continued to maintain the corridor kind of in the center of Gaza Strip. And then down in Rafah is where they're actually operating a little bit heavier down here towards the border. Now, interesting enough, the IDF did advance a little bit more over this last several days in the weekend, locking down the Philadelphia corridor, almost making it within like 200 meters or so of the Mediterranean Sea. The IDF stated that they don't need to go all the way to the Med because of the terrain down here. They just don't feel the need to secure it, likely because it's sand, and digging in sand and tunnels don't really go hand in hand. Not to mention most of the tunnel systems are originating likely from buildings or nearby buildings outside. So all of that taken into account, the IDF says they have this lockdown with direct fire, and they're not really worried about Hamas crossing the border, going back and forth, or getting anything else. But here's what's interesting about this. Let's go back out to the initial area that the IDF had cleared. So when the IDF first came in here, and again, this map is up to date, they had pushed all the way up to all the Ruba Road in this neighborhood right here, coming all the way down. They even set armor and stuff on up on it. And we saw the IDF pushing and clearing through this entire area. Now, while they were doing that, we had a tiny sliver of IDF troops that were kind of like right up here and then just kind of began to push and continue to push up that border and work their way up along that border going out towards Ahmed. But they have since withdrawn from that entire neighborhood. They're out of there. They pulled back. And what they have done is they've pushed out a little bit beyond the airfield and kind of locked that down, holding security. And it looks like the IDF is making a buffer zone on the border in between the Sinai Peninsula, which is, of course, belongs to Egypt, and then also the Gaza Strip. Other than that, we do have a couple different reports of the IDF operating tanks in the center of the city, but not very much. And likely the only reason they're doing that is because they're attempting to secure their line itself and push Hamas back just a little bit, so they don't have to have like worry about direct fire attacks 24/7, so they can kind of like calm them down. But they're not really going out conducting any targeted operations as of right now inside of Rafah. So it looks like the statements that have been coming out about the IDF conducting very limited and targeted strikes inside Rafah are actually accurate. But the interesting part, like I said, is the fact that they're holding down, it kind of creating a buffer space in between Egypt and also in between Rafah. Now, why would the IDF want to be doing that right now? Well, in my opinion, it's decision point time. IDF has got to make a decision. Do they want to go and do they want to attack Lebanon, or do they want to go and launch a major offensive inside Rafah? Because they can't do them both. I mean, they could, theoretically speaking, but they let a bunch of their reserves go and they're going to have to probably get a bunch of them back because the fight against Hezbollah is going to be really severe. In addition to that, they're also going to require a lot of aircraft in the north if they put troops on the ground inside of Lebanon, which is going to mean that the people inside Gaza aren't going to get as much air support as the people in the north. I mean, it's just a much more significant fight. Now, there is two possible scenarios for how Israel is likely to handle this, at least in my mind. Scenario number one is they continue to lock down the border in between the Gaza Strip and Egypt. As long as they keep that buffer zone and they're out there, the likelihood that Hezbollah is going to be able to refit themselves with weapons and equipment is pretty low. I think at this point it's established that a lot of the stuff that Hamas was getting was being smuggled across the border from Egypt and into Rafah, likely with the help of Egyptian troops or possibly Egyptian military command as well. Now, if that's the case and they just have that buffer zone, then they're going to launch their attack into Lebanon. They're just going to basically sit fast and hold tight because those hospitals that are all throughout Israel are going to need to be prepared to take on a lot of casualties. And if IDF troops start duking it out inside Rafah at the same time, those hospitals are going to be quickly, very, very quickly overwhelmed. Just like 2 weeks ago when the IDF was inside Jabalia and they ended up suffering that mass casualty incident. Same thing down in Rafah. Just in one day, two separate mass casualty incidences ended up like overwhelming the hospital system, where they were having to medevac troops, not to military hospitals, to actual civilian hospitals inside of Israel. So while the military might have the ability to handle, both those fronts, assuming that they do, the hospitals and the medical staff, I think, are going to need to get ramped up tenfold if they're going to actually do a ground operation inside Lebanon. But interestingly enough, I'm not sure that Israel would be going about this alone. Just today, it looks like a U.S. B-52 bomber leaving out of the U.K. actually flew down into the Mediterranean Sea, conducted a giant U-turn as it was on track to head into, like, it looked like it was pretty much on trajectory. If you follow this flight path right here, looks like it was on the flight path heading towards Beirut, and then it just turned around and came back around Cyprus and went back towards the U.K. Now, that is a long journey, and it is very ironic that that took place while Israel is talking about wanting to go in and attack Hezbollah in the north. So the United States military actually flew a freaking B-52 bomber all the way down there from the UK while Israel is dealing with the north. So I mean, who the hell knows what they were doing? It could have been a practice run, could have just been, you know, saber rattling. But either way, it's very interesting that we not only have the capability that we're ready and willing, and it just could basically conducted a rehearsal should they need to help out. So what's the other possibility? Well, the other possibility is Israel actually launches simultaneous attacks. Now, Nasrallah actually came out, the leader of Hezbollah came out and said that they're not going to get, you know, like ramped up just for, you know, Israel's sake. But what they did state is that if Hamas looks like it's about to be decimated inside Gaza, that they will indeed go in and attack Israel. So that's kind of interesting within itself. And with those two things kind of like under threat, both, you know, the fight that's taking place with the hostages inside Rafah, and they want to get those hostages out of there, and then Nasrallah claiming, in addition to the increased attacks, claiming that if Hamas looks like it's about to be decimated, that the IDF is going to get attacked up there along the northern border, Hezbollah is going to attack Israel. To me, that would make sense that before Israel launches this attack inside Rafah, they're going to have to pre-position themselves inside Rafah, which it looks like they're now set up to. I mean, if we go down here and we look at this, that looks like they're staged to start pushing. Now, why would they be pushing, generally speaking, from like, you know, the borderline up over in towards Khan Yunis? It's so that those civilians and people have a chance to get out. If they did it from the other way, of course, they'd be crushing everybody into the fence line. And that would not be good. So they want to give people a chance to evacuate. So it looks like they are pre-positioned for an attack on Rafah right now. And if they do, and Hezbollah attacks, well, they need to be ready for it. But that's never a good strategy to sit there and just, you know, have your butt out in the wind and wait for the enemy to attack you. So very, very likely Israel is going to end up launching a simultaneous attack, in my opinion, on both Lebanese Hezbollah as well as inside Rafah. Now, the extent of how far back they're going to end up pushing Hezbollah is really the question. A lot of people are saying they're going to push them north of the border, about 30, 40 kilometers up to the Latani River. Other people are trying to say that their goal now is to wipe Hezbollah off the map completely. I don't think that's the case. In order to wipe out, you know, a terrorist organization of that size, you're talking about a several year operation. That's just not, you know, in the cards, and the hostages don't have that much time. It would draw too many resources. And I don't think Israel has like such a good standing on the world stage if they were to start expending all those resources to be able to get them refitted right away, especially if they open up a new front inside Lebanon. So they're likely just to push them back enough and cause enough damage to kind of secure their northern border and hopefully allow some of those people that have been displaced from the north inside Israel to return home. You guys, if you like this podcast, please subscribe. Don't forget to like and share. And I'll be live tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, to give you any updates that end up coming out from the Gaza Strip. I'll see you then.